At our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Mostly cloudy skies, some haze out there. Mild start, temperature of 71 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on this program in just a few minutes, in about 7.5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Paul Miklik for our weekly segment discussing Wisconsin sports. NBA draft last night, the Milwaukee Bucks added a couple of players to the roster from big schools, from UConn and Kentucky. Talk about that. Chris Middleton, as we just heard from Mike Clemens in our sports report, has opted out this week from his $40 million option, and will look for a longer-term contract. We'll talk about that. Milwaukee Brewers currently in second place in the National League Central behind the red-hot Cincinnati Reds. Talk about that as well. So plenty to talk about with Paul Miklik coming up at 8:15 this morning. Also today we're going to talk about, we've been talking about it for quite a while, waiting for the Republicans to vote on their tax cut package for the wealthy. And that's what they did yesterday. Republicans, quite a day yesterday. Huge tax cuts for the wealthy and cutting funding to the UW system. So we're going to go into that a little bit deeper coming up in the second hour of the program as well. Again, a $3.5 billion income tax cut. I guess you can look at it as half glass full or half glass empty. We had the $7 billion surplus, so half of it, the Republicans decide that they want to make it towards the tax cut. And most of the tax cut goes to the wealthiest of our states. So we'll go into that a little bit more in depth later on in the program. Also want to let you know that after today, I am going to be gone next week. So if you tune in from 8 till 10 a.m., I will not be here. We'll have other programming from Civic Media, but I will be back a week from Monday on July the 3rd. So again, don't worry that if you don't hear me next week at this time frame that I've gone anywhere. Yes, I have gone somewhere. I'll be going off, getting out of town for a week. It's been a year since I've had that opportunity. So we'll be back coming up on July the 3rd with new episodes of this program. But we will have new episodes of other programs. Instead of trying to bring you back reruns next week, we're going to try to stay on top of what's going on in Wisconsin news and more next week between 8 and 10 a.m. So again, just wanted to let you know that I am heading off later today on an airplane later on tonight, getting out of town for the next week. But I'll be back on July the 3rd. Touching a little bit on this, yesterday at the state capitol, let's go more into the income tax cut, but I have to admit that I'm still a little surprised that the GOP did actually cut funding for the University of Wisconsin system. I know Robin Voss has done a lot of talking about it. He has, spoken about it. I thought in the end, some sanity would prevail within the Republican caucus. But the idea with a $7 billion budget surplus to actually cut from the UW system, and again, they're pretending that this DEI is the worst thing that's ever occurred to this country. Again, it's just incredible. And again, this is about putting one race above another. No, again, we're going to go into this a little bit more, but the idea, again, that Republicans on the budget panel decided that they were going to try to cut 190 positions that perform functions related to diversity, equity, and inclusion from the UW budget. And Democrats hit it on the head. These are lives. These are lives for these jobs, and these are lives where we're trying to get more diversity within our colleges in order to give everybody, as Republicans say, equal opportunity. They say this equal opportunity. There is still not equal opportunity in this state. It is a significant mistake. If Republicans think this is somehow going to make Wisconsin a better place, and all this talk again about, well, they can come back to us if they give us a plan that talks about developing our workforce. Again, I've talked about this. I am tired of Republicans basically thinking people are just cogs in an economic machine. It is part of what we are as a people. Of course, the economy is important, but the idea that universities and higher education should all be about, again, putting people as cogs in the machinery is completely wrong. So again, I'll have plenty more to talk about this later on in the program. But first, we're going to do our weekly Friday thing of talking about some Wisconsin sports. We'll talk about the Bucks, the Brewers, a whole bunch more coming up with Paul Micklick. We'll have Coach Micklick coming up as we continue on this Friday. Yep, end of the work week. Right now, some overcast skies, temperature of 71 degrees, expecting mostly sunny before all is said and done, and a high of 88 later today. More to come with Paul Micklick next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It is Friday. The time is 8:17. Overcast skies, 71 degrees in Wausau. And very happy to bring in here on this Friday, Paul Micklick, talk Wisconsin sports.
Look at this guy. He's excited today.
I'm excited.
He's excited. He's got vacation coming up.
It's been a year, doggone it. I haven't had a vacation in a year. I haven't taken a day off. You get days off. I haven't taken any days off except for the holidays. Of course, you get holidays off. But other than that, I have not taken a sick day. I've not taken a vacation day, and it's time to blow town for a week.
But you're going to the last second here, working, and before you get out of here, look at this guy. He's
ready to roll. Yeah.
Yes.
I go through the tape as a track guy. You got to go through the tape. You can't be stopping 5 meters or 5 yards from the tape.
No coasting here. No coasting here.
I wanted to ask, I don't know the answer, but there was a state award show this week. Was that this week? With A.J. Dillon with the Packers? Yeah. I know there were some Newman guys that were nominated. Any winners with the Newman guys?
Connor Crock won the eight-man football player of the year for the Gannett.
Was it Northeast Wisconsin Sports Awards or something like that?
Correct, which is actually now, I think it's the whole state of Wisconsin. I'm getting at, though. I mean, it was a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel guy that was hosting it.
Was A.J. Dillon there?
It was.
Or was he a big screen with AJ talking?
Wasn't talking about any awards. They interviewed him about the.
He didn't do his research. He didn't have stats on Newman.
No, he didn't. It's nice and obviously.
Where was it held? Was that at Lambeau?
No, it was used to be at Lambeau.
The cuts are
all over the place. So it was on. Basically, it was taped live, if that makes any sense. It's kind of like Colbert at night there.
Okay.
They were at Nina.
Oh, okay.
They did it from Nina because it's the last year of that gymnasium. So then they did the awards
at
Nina.
I did a couple games there recently.
And then Dylan was in Green Bay.
They held it in Nina's field house because it's the last year of Nina's field house.
Yes.
They saw the bill from Green Bay. We can celebrate Nina's field house today.
That's the last year of it.
No, that's great for Connor Crock. He had a great football season. Obviously, it was a major factor for your team winning the state championship. So
yeah, and he was up for Connor. There's three male athletes of the year for the whole, overall. The young man from Mosinee actually won it. There's the Stoffel, yep. And there's Mosinee, Hortonville, and then Connor. So it was good.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Connor Crock and Davin Stoffel and the rest of the winners from the Gannett Sports Awards. Let's talk about the Bucks first, because obviously you actually know it's off season, but they had the draft and Chris Middleton made his decision. Let's talk about Middleton first, because I think this could be actually a win-win for both sides, because he just decided to decline the $40 million option. I think he wants to have as a guy who's going into his 12th season in the NBA. I think he wants a little security rather than maybe the 1 year with a higher base salary. So the talk is maybe you could have a lower base salary this year, but to have a couple of extra years after that. But at the same time, I was reading some stories that, you know, he's the number one free agent small forward, you know, position player in the NBA. So it's not going to be cheap. But at the same time, there is a potential that maybe this could be a win-win for the Bucks, because obviously the salary cap and the new CBA with the tiers is going to pinch. Not that I'm really worried about Jimmy Haslam and the rest of the Bucks ownership group, but at the same time, for the franchise, it's probably an opportunity maybe to lower that tax bill.
I mean, I think that's what they wanted. I mean, I think that's, I would assume that's what they wanted. And I would assume that Middleton knows where his bread is buttered and the situation. But who knows? Maybe he's not. Maybe he actually wants to go out there and try to get the biggest contract possible for as long. I mean, I don't know.
The Bucks can't afford to go in there and try and lowball them, because he will have other opportunities. I mean,
of course he will. I mean, but I also will say is I don't know.
It's so easy again. I'm going to jump in and then I'll let you talk again. But I can already see where this is going, because always it's like, well, they should take a lot less just to stay here. I mean, come on.
Okay, first of all, you didn't let me finish.
I know, but I can see where it's coming down the road.
Chris Middleton, if he's not in Milwaukee with Giannis, I don't know, and this is a fact, if he's that good of a player. I mean, if he's going to get that contract.
He's a really good player.
He's a really good player. He was a second-round draft pick. But he wasn't very good at Detroit. He was just coming in his own. He came to to Milwaukee, and he
wasn't very good in Detroit. He was a rookie second-round draft pick. So the idea that his rookie year didn't come in there and become an all-pro the first year. I mean, he wasn't a very good player.
I don't know if he would become all-pro because it had been football, but he could have been in there. But that you can't tell me that he, like, being around Giannis and stuff of those guys.
They call them all NBA.
Yes.
So don't start acting like I'm an idiot.
No. Because you're coming at me with
I can already see what I'm sitting here on this side of the table feeling like Chris Middleton talking to John Horst. Well, Chris, you know, you could go somewhere else for more money, but you're not really that good. So you better take the money and play with Giannis here in Milwaukee.
You take it way to one extreme instead of us meeting the middle
but
here.
But you are going to start by saying he should take less money to stay in Milwaukee. I can see it in your eyes.
Well, that's the whole point of this, isn't it? That would be the whole point why he opted out.
No, that's not the whole point. The whole point is he wants a longer term contract at this point in this career.
That could be less money.
It could be less money. I'm saying
per year,
he would get more total money.
Yes, in the long run, but that's the whole point of this, why he opted out.
Yes, but you're trying to lowball him right at the start of
the
negotiation.
I'm not asking him to say take $1 million per year. I mean, but that is the whole point of this, is to see if they can get this year's salary lower than it was.
But
the whole point of this.
But he should still be getting market value.
I never said market value. I'm just saying is the whole point of him opting out was to try to make a long-term deal, I would think.
Yes.
So they could get the salary down.
Absolutely. I agree with that. That's what I said.
So I don't understand why that is lower money for this year. That would be lower money for this year.
But yes, absolutely. No, it's
for this year, particularly.
It's lower money that the Bucks owners won't have to pay into the tax. It's not about them spending more money for the team. It has nothing to do with that. Zero.
But that's the whole point of this, though.
Yes, no, it's not the whole point.
Well, it is.
Part of the point of it.
Well, what's the other point?
Chris Middleton wanting security for longer term.
Yeah, correct. And that's part of the point of it. Yes, that is. That's what I'm saying is that is they both went into this, I think, for a reason. You know what I'm saying? That Chris wants to have more money long term.
But it was Chris's decision. It wasn't the Bucks' decision. Chris had the option.
You're right. They probably never talked about it. They're just sitting out there. They're women at this.
I just get annoyed when all of a sudden they're always saying, well, you know, he should take less money to stay here. No. I'm sorry. You want to save money for Jimmy Haslam, and I'm not into that.
We're not into that game. I'm going to sit here and go, if Aaron Rodgers did not take all that money and put the Packers in a pinch, okay, and go get other guys, Tom Brady did take other guys. And I'm not even saying I like Tom Brady, but Tom Brady did go out.
Tom Brady was married to a woman What does that have to do with anything we're talking about right now?
I'm saying is that he's going to take a little less money. It's not going to affect the Bucks roster.
Zero. This is different than what you're talking about with Rodgers and Brady.
For this year, it might not make it, but for next year and the year after, to make sure that they have it so it's not a one-year window, yes, it does make a difference. I mean, so to say that, because they would have been in a huge pinch as they go on if he would have...
They're over the cap
now
in the future, too. I mean,
correct.
So if they re-signed Chris Middleton for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, you know...
They're still going to be over the cap.
Yes.
Yes.
So again, it's not going to be where if he takes $15 million, not this year, but next year, instead of $30 million, which I'm sure he's more than capable of getting on the market, it doesn't mean that the Bucks are then going to be putting that money into additional players.
Correct, because they would have been gone even with him if he took it. But the thing is, there's a lot into it. So if you think that they did not talk and discuss this stuff as a group, I mean, that is literally insanity, right? I'm sure there was discussions.
But,
I hope there was, because if there wasn't, we're in trouble.
I just don't want to see this idea again where he's the bad guy if he takes a little bit more than the fans want him to take. I get just so annoyed with that.
Okay. Well, okay, I'm going back to reality here is, are you telling me that playing with one of the best, if not the best player in the world...
How much is that worth? How many millions are you going to...
You're talking about nickels and dimes.
I'm just asking a simple question. How many millions are you going to leave on the table?
I'm asking a simple question. Is it worth playing for nickels and dimes? Is it worth playing with the best player in the world? Yes or no?
I don't think that's a yes or no question. I think that
you to take give it, them nickels
you
and
take,
dimes.
You take it all. I would say that
it is part of the equation.
Would,
then, right?
No, I would say that if the team says, "Well, we're giving you this wonderful opportunity to play with the best player in the world, but you got to take a 75% cut."
Okay, I'm not sitting here saying that, Chad. Come on now. I'm just saying overall. I said nickels and dimes. That's not nickels and dimes. That's 75%.
I know.
But if that all that stuff cannot be put into the equation.
The bottom line is, as much as I am trying to fight Chris Middleton's battle.
Yeah, you want some $50 million at this rate.
But the bottom line is, I think they're going to come together and make a deal. That's the thing. I think they'll treat him.
I would hope
because
they did
I
this.
Would hope that the 10 years that he's brought to this team is worthy of him, them not trying to, you know, lowball them, and that he is willing to say, hey, I enjoy being here. I want to win another championship. So in the end, we will all come together with one big hug. And
I think so. And it's Timmy time.
What's
did
that?
You see, they signed the guy from Gonzaga.
Oh, I. Hang on. We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back, talk about the actual draft and Timmy time coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Talking numbers. I'll be talking more numbers in the second hour with budget numbers from the state of Wisconsin, but we're talking numbers about...
Well, hopefully you're fired up and ready to go on that. I don't want... I'm not going to be here in the second...
I have some numbers. I'm also very... oh, man, I shouldn't even say it right now, but... Based on the Republicans' budget proposal that they passed yesterday, Chris Middleton got a big tax cut, so he may want to stay now. But that's a whole different subject. Again, we're talking Wisconsin sports here with Paul Micklick. And yesterday, the draft, Bucks actually made a deal because they only had the last pick in the second round, the last pick of the NBA draft. And I like history. If you go back, they used to be 12 rounds, 17 rounds, 30 rounds in some of these sports drafts, and now it's like two rounds. And I was thinking, you know, with the Bucks' last pick, if I'm that kid from Kentucky, I don't want to get drafted last. I want to be a free agent. I want to be the best player in a hypothetical third round, but that's a whole different subject.
Correct.
But the two guys that the Bucks drafted, they made the trade with Orlando, which was an odd trade. I mean, Orlando took some cash and then move down like eight spots, you know, or get a second round selection next year. So, and probably like 20 draft.
It'll be later,
yeah. But they, hopefully. I guess they needed some money down in Orlando for John Hammond is down there right now, so I guess he did a favor for his old cronies in Milwaukee. But they took Andre Jackson Jr., who is part of the national championship team at UConn in the second round at number 36. And then Chris Livingston, who just played 1 year at Kentucky at number 58. The thing that jumped out about both these players is that I think they're both physically gifted players. If you look at their numbers for like you know the leaping and the wingspan, and they're both very
five star. I mean, Livingston was a five star recruit out of high school.
Exactly. So again, he was a single digit guy last season at Kentucky. But boy, I mean, he's one of those. I think they're probably going to maybe play in Europe or play in the in the G League to start off. But Jackson was interesting because he is a 22-year-old. Because sometimes you draft these 18, 19-year-olds these days, his shooting numbers were terrible. And in the NBA these days, it feels like you're looking for shooters. But the Bucks may not need that. Maybe they need more of a physical freak that's able to distribute. He's got good numbers with assists. And you would think with the physical skills, he'd be somebody on the defensive end that would work. So they obviously wanted him. They made the deal. And the idea of getting a couple of physical freaks to go with the ultimate physical freak in Giannis. Again, I laugh when you know you can go onto these websites today. Draft grades. I got no idea whether or not these two guys will ever make any kind of impact with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Often, or even beyond the Bucks
roster. Because number two draft picks sometimes never make the team. So,
yep.
But I guess
unless you're Chris Middleton, you get $40 million.
There you go. I like the roll of the dice though on physical freaks, I guess is the way to put it.
It looked like they obviously had a you think they had a plan that they
never assume, right?
They never assume, but that it looked like they were going after high college level guys that are were highly recruited
and blue blood schools, like you say,
that are powerhouses, that are winners, that are they give them a certain kind of dimension, and so they could maybe fit in there fairly quick, especially the first one defensively. I would assume, and he passes the ball. They're everything opposite of what Jordan Nora was. You know what I'm saying? Like literally were their opposite when they drafted him. He was a second rounder, and it was totally different kind of guy. He could shoot and score.
These guys
can't shoot and score. They're the everything opposite: defensive, passing. You know, those kinds of things. So it would be interesting to see. But again, when we were talking about second rounders, like you said, if one of those two guys pan out.
Fantastic.
It's a win. Yep, you know.
And Bucks kind of need that. They do need a couple of these guys that come in on entry contracts to make a difference for a few years. And the idea of maybe a Jackson being a guy behind Drew Holiday, because Holiday is a physical guy. I mean, he's not 6'5" like this guy is, but you know, maybe a guy that can come in and spell Holiday, who's getting older as well, and be able to develop. NBA is so much different than the NFL. We always talk about NFL when you have a draft, about developing. It feels like with the NBA, you kind of have to almost hit the ground running. You don't see a lot of developmental guys, do you?
No. And the one thing I will say, I think Miami, I think they had in the starting lineup in the playoffs, some of those guys, I want to say there was like two guys that were undrafted guys. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of unheard of the way that they went about it, because you don't really see that, like you said, you don't see that in the NBA. So it can be done.
You got to get lucky.
Yep.
And the Bucks got lucky with Giannis. I mean, he was about 17, 16, I forget.
15th, I think it was.
Middle teens there. And and they did develop him. So obviously and they had the patience back then, because nobody was watching him at the time. So it's like, you know, whatever, when a tree falls in the forest and nobody, you know, sees it or hear it, I mean, that's
the big difference right now, isn't it though?
Everybody is focused, you know, you got to do it now.
How can you help us now?
Now, you know, not 3 years from now, today. So no, it's interesting. But
I think their first round pick from last year, I do believe that he's going to have to be in the rotation somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So it will be fairly quick on that one, but he was also a first round pick.
And that's one of the things that I think we're curious to see about Adrian Griffin. Can he do a little bit more with the young guys? Because Budenholzer kind of he rode the vets, and there's really no reason not to, because obviously he was coaching for his job every year, as we've come to learn.
Yep.
But I think Griffin may be a guy that has been an NBA player. He was not a superstar player, so maybe, you know, sometimes it's not those superstar players that are actually the best coaches, because, you know, they had to find different ways of succeeding than maybe Magic Johnson did. Well, why can't they do what I did? Well, because you're Magic Johnson and they're not. You know, it's one of those.
You're Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Wasn't a very good owner.
Yeah. I mean, exactly right. So, again, it's just, it's going to be interesting.
Well, and again, the Tim, did he get from Gonzaga? Was he player of the year last year?
I missed
was
that.
Was he player of the year last year? Or up there? He must have been. The kid from Gonzaga.
Yeah, okay. Oh, the guy that left a year ago. I remember that guy. He was like
No. Oh. He was there again this year. Tim was.
Who is this guy? I missed this.
I want to say he was one of the... He was up for player of the year.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's a taller gentleman for Gonzaga. And he had always beards and stuff. And and long hair.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
And he would do that guy.
He's with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, he didn't get drafted. Just think about that.
He was a non-drafted guy, and they signed him right away.
Yes.
Again. And
that's what I'm saying.
And I bet you he got a lot more money than the guy who was drafted 58th.
Yes.
Because the whole league was saying, okay, he's the 59th best player, so we better jump on him.
Correct.
So, maybe he's the guy for the guy like the Miami. Because
he's older. You know what I'm saying? Because I would assume that, I mean, his time window.
At least he looks older.
I think he's older. I think he's 29, but no. But I know he is older. So there's a guy where he's probably
and
where
another
he is.
And another guy that's played big games.
I
think again. That's the thing about Jackson. He played in the biggest games. He won a national championship. So you would think a first round playoff series would not be over his head. I mean, so I think there's assuming they have a plan.
Yes, assuming they have a plan. I mean, he's kind of like because he can shoot from the outside. He's kind of. he fits their, you know, I don't want to say he's going to be Brook Lopez because he's not. But, I mean, but did anybody think that Brook Lopez, when we signed him, that he would be as good as, I mean, the guy had an incredible year.
Brook Lopez had played a lot of years in the NBA before he really became Brook Lopez. I mean, that's the thing. That,
yes.
And again, maybe what you were saying in the last segment where he finally found the spot that worked for him, where he wasn't asked to do too much.
Yep.
Because sometimes if you're not asked to be the number one guy, you can put up numbers that look like a number one guy, but when you become the number one guy, then you drop 5 points per game. And it's like, it's exactly right.
Find this good home, and so maybe Tim can get there. So with those two draft picks and Tim, one of those three guys I would assume are going to be on that roster
and
playing.
And again, based on the salary cap issues, they're going to have some of these guys because, I mean, in the next, maybe if it's not this year, within the next couple of years, they're going to have to fill the bottom end of that roster with some rookies. I mean, that's just...
The only thing that's concerning is they were a little weak defensively, especially on Butler. But they also they also had trouble putting the ball in the hole.
That's it. I mean, that's, and I think that, and that's probably the biggest reason there's a new coach, too. That's, again, how is this guy going to change up, especially in the playoffs? I saw a story this week on Holiday. Boy, his numbers from the regular season to the playoffs just way down. And that has partly to do, I think, with the players, but also partly to do, you know, with the way that you run your offense. Because, as you know, I mean, if you watch a game in January, it's a completely different game. Because 82 correct. Games, you, these guys are just trying to survive 82 games and all the travel. And then all of a sudden, the intensity for 48 minutes of basketball comes up in the playoffs.
And this is why, and I will say, going to your defense of Chris Middleton, he can put the ball in the hole in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. He was hurt this year. Okay.
And he still put up 24 per game.
And he still
without Giannis, you know.
Correct. And so that is going to be, that's the reason why he's going to get paid. Is that reason
right.
alone? Because he can put the ball in the hole in the playoffs.
Exactly. Let's touch on the Brewers. A game and a half behind Cincinnati. Interesting. Before we talk about the Crew, since he's won 11 games in a row, Pittsburgh's lost 10 games in a row. So you think about it. 10 games ago, Cincinnati's picked up 10 games on the then first place team in the division, which is, it's mind blowing in a sense. You know, I mean, it just shows how, number one, this division sucks. I mean, Cincinnati was going nowhere, and then they win 10 games in a row. Hey, 11 games in a row, they're in first place. Pittsburgh is in first place. Oh, man, I'm saying, no, this is a much better Pittsburgh team than we've seen before. And now they've lost 10 games in a row, and the Brewers, they're fortunate to win that middle game against Arizona because, I mean, they were down 4-0. And then, the normal Brewers, you know, waving the wet newspaper, you know, at the plate. I should bring up last week's because nothing really changes with the Brewers, does it?
No, I mean, and how is it going to if you don't, I mean, the personnel, if you're not, you can't change the personnel. So, I mean, there is nobody sitting there.
If you want to, you can make a move. You can get, you know, CC Sabathia like they did a few years ago.
Correct. I'm not saying they can't.
The thing is, I don't expect them to do anything either. I mean, do you expect them to do anything?
I expect to see probably Keshton and Sal up at some point in time.
Yeah.
Just because that's the only two guys that I think that are hitting in the AAA that can maybe hit at the major league level.
Let's give them a shot.
You're looking at that lineup. And to be honest with you, baseball on the whole, the lineups aren't like the olden days where you'd see like a 300, a 290, a 310. You know, I mean, now these are like, if you see 280, that's like, that's really good. I mean, even Arizona's lineup wasn't anything that was like mind-blowing. But the Brewers, it's even in the step below that. I mean, it's when you're looking at that and you're talking, you got two guys that are above like 250. Wow. That's rough. How are you supposed to score?
I mean, this is like, those are dead ball era numbers. I mean, it was like back in the days before the, you know, they juiced up the baseball to get some offense. You're right. I mean, and again, Tehran, another great start. The guy, he's had six starts. He's got an ERA, 1.6 something.
Yep.
He has not given up more than two runs in a game. And in those six games, the Brewers are 2-4. Which is amazing because this guy has been great. You talk about finding a gold nugget, and they're not taking advantage of it at this point because, as you've been saying, it's not going to go on forever.
It's not going to go on forever. And in that game where he just pitched, that they actually had an opportunity to get out of there. Weimer bobbled the ball in the outfield.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
Kateris bobbled the ball or lost the ball when they put the tag on it. I mean, like little things. they can't afford, and we talked about this, they can't afford blowing a game up by two or three. Any opportunity they get, they can't bobble that ball. When they have opportunity to score a run, I was watching that game on Sunday, and they had a guy on, Kateris had a triple. And I literally said to myself, I bet you he doesn't score. You can't have a guy with no outs not score from third base. Right. Sorry. This is the major leagues. You got to be able to somehow get that guy home. Execute.
Yep.
You know, and they just don't, have the people to do it, I think, at this point in time. But that's, it all averages out. And I think we said at the beginning of the year, at least I did, 500 team.
And when we talk in a couple of weeks, the Reds will probably have lost 13 in a row. So.
They will. And the Cardinals will probably win 10 in a row.
Yeah, the Cards are 13 games under 500. They're 9 games out, and it would not be a shocker if at the end of the year, hey, St. Louis is back in the playoffs.
We will be sitting here in September, and we will be saying that somehow. But they're talking about getting rid of Goldschmidt and the Brewers being one of the guys that might pick him up. But who knows?
One of these days, maybe the Brewers will push, as like I will be one of the next few days, pushing my chips all in.
Do you think the Brewers have enough to push the chips all in?
Man, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. They're probably not.
I don't know.
Because you have to send something back, you know?
So who are you going to give them?
And usually it's, lower cost, high end players.
Yep.
That's a good question. I will take it under advisement on the plane tonight.
You think about that for next week.
I'll be making thoughts about trades for the Brewers to get Goldschmidt when I'm on the plane out west. So, hey, enjoy the next couple of weeks. I know you have a nice little tournament in Oshkosh this weekend, and then hopefully you'll get a chance to take a deep breath as well. As I was looking, it's 2 months from Sunday is opening day for the Cardinal football team.
From Sunday, Saturday.
2 months from Sunday.
Oh, 2 months. Two months. Yeah, that's right around the corner.
It is. So
you go.
Not that I'm counting the days, but
hopefully you come back, and we wish you the best on that in your vacation.
Hey, thank you very much, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Chad.
Paul Micklegg joining us here, talking Wisconsin sports. We're going to take a timeout. Come back with more. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:49, 71 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media. With you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you don't have the Civic Media app, what are you waiting for? Go to your app store, search Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Media, And we just updated it. In fact, it's even improved what we had started with, and they're continuing to make improvements in all areas. I hope you've been noticing the increased news coverage. In fact, every day when we start this program at 8 o'clock, you got Luke Mathers with a Pacific Media Wisconsin news report. Then you got Brittany Merlot focusing more here on North Central Wisconsin. Mike Clemens then with 2 minutes of Wisconsin sports as well. And then we go into this program. And then, of course, at 12 noon, you got the top of the hour where you got CBS News and then another block of civic media news with Luke Mathers and Terry Bell. You got, again, a North Central Wisconsin news update with Brittany Merlot again as well. Mike Clemens with sports and then go into Town Call from 12:15 until 1 o'clock where your voice is heard each and every weekday. So, again, we're moving forward. We're taking steps as basically not even a year into civic media. It's been an incredible growth process for civic media. And here in central Wisconsin, still on in our studios on East Wausau Avenue. But hopefully when I get back from vacation, we'll be very close to moving to our new studios downtown. Yep, we're going to be downtown. In fact, when we move to our new studios, you'll be able to walk down the street about a block from the mall, just down the street from the 400 block, be able to peek into the window and actually see me doing what I do. See me, see my guests, and be able to just take a look as we will be broadcasting from street side, basically, and be able to be closer to the people downtown Wausau. Really looking forward to that as we continue, and we're getting close to the one-year anniversary of civic media taking over WXCO Radio. In fact, it was August the 1st of last year. Yep, August the 1st, start of civic media and Bow Falls Radio. And again, we're going to continue to take steps forward, continue to grow, and continue to add more and more in terms of our coverage of Central Wisconsin here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, thanks to Paul Miklick for joining us to talk about Wisconsin sports. Again, the Brewers, 38-36, game and a half behind the Cincinnati Reds, who are 40-35. Cubs are just two games behind the Brewers. The Cubs just completed a three-game series sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Cubs are 36-38, 3.5 games behind Cincinnati. Despite a 10-game losing streak, Pittsburgh is still 5.5 games behind Cincinnati, 34-40, and the St. Louis Cardinals in the cellar. Don't say that very often. St. Louis, 31 wins, 44 losses, 9 games behind Cincinnati in the National League Central. Again, when you look at both the American League Central and the National League Central, not great baseball this season. The Minnesota Twins right now are .500. They have a .500 record, but they are a game ahead of Cleveland in the American League Central. So, again, I saw an article yesterday saying that the Twins are in first place, but they're still a disappointment, and that's very true. They were expected to be much better this year. But I guess the bottom line is if you haven't played as well as you can and you're still in first place, that's not a bad thing. And again, a lot of activity with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to be very interesting. Again, when you bring in a new coach, there is an adjustment process. So if you expect the Bucks to come out and jump out and be the best team, I think wins and losses in the regular season next year, it may not be. But again, the reason they decided to make the change, despite the success that Mike Budenholzer had in his 5 years, both in terms of having, I think, the best record in the NBA during the regular season and also winning a championship, the Bucks want to have better playoff runs. The disappointment of losing to Miami in the first round caused ownership and GM John Horst to decide to make the change. Adrian Griffin, the new coach. So again, it may be a process, but really you won't know whether or not it was the right move until the playoffs next year. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour. Find out what's going on around the country and around the world. Then coming up at 9:06, we'll be joined by Jennifer Vuchiski from Weatherology. Take a look at our forecast for the weekend. It looks like it's going to be warm, but it does look like there's a chance of some rain. When can we expect rain? And we'll get the details on that with Jennifer Vuchiski coming up at 9:06. And then one more hour to go here on this Friday. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.